Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. And it is a nice warm Wednesday evening here in central Kentucky, where I, Stephen Zur, am broadcasting to all of you, our awesome, awesome listeners. And sitting with me right now is the wonderful Kat Vicky. And I guess she's going to be helping out a little tonight on episode number 376. And yes, it's going to be good because we're getting back in the groove. We're going to have a great guest for you tonight with a great discussion on a lot of topics ranging from writing to mental health issues, all kinds of stuff. So that's a little teaser for what's coming ahead. And Holly may or may not be joining me tonight, folks. Yes, we had a fun life happens moment. The HVAC system decided to mutiny. Yeah, not far from the show. So yeah, we had a little bit of an adventure and some things to take care of right before the show that prevented Holly from being here at the moment. So let's keep our fingers crossed and she may be able to join us in progress, but the show must go on. So of course I'm here with all of you and looking forward to it. And definitely I want to take your comments and questions from the chat room. And looks like we have some good, great folks coming in already. I see that the one, the only Moon is in there. Yes, yes. Hello, Moon. How are you doing? And, of course, the Sandy Lender, the genre blender. And, yeah, more exciting stuff involving her that I'm going to get to talk about here in a second. But first, last week we did our wrap-up show on the Imaginarium 2023 convention. That was great. Enjoyed that very much. And it was good to have a nice look back. Of course, that was during our, what I call our recovery week, which ended up not being entirely a recovery week, but we did our best. It wasn't as crazy, obviously, as the months leading up to Imaginarium. So, this week, we had an avalanche greeting us as we got back full throttle on activity and such, but yes, we'll have some news for you about Imaginarium 2024 very soon. We're definitely going to keep the keep things rolling, and yes, we haven't posted it yet, but we got some wonderful comments from Terry Brooks just yesterday that we have been given permission to use publicly about Imaginarium. We also got some public comments from Jeff Budget, of course, from American Ripper, that awesome Hulu series, and his true crime wizard who is at Imaginarium is one of our Imaginators. And we will have a statement also coming from Dacre Stoker. So, yes, always nice when all your guest of honor level people are willing to give public testimony about the convention. So that's kind of cool, and that's going to be rolling in. I'll have some updates on that pretty soon, and of course we'll share that with everyone right away when we get a moment to get those posted up. But let me clear my throat there. Sorry, folks. But yeah, I'm solo tonight for the moment. But it's gonna, like I said, it's gonna be a great, great show. But yes, getting back to that little teaser I gave about Sandy Lender, but there's a great anthology that is coming out as a joint project between Jumpmaster Press and Seven Star Press. That will be coming out this coming Monday. We'll be promoting that quite heavily during release week and celebrating it. Of course, that is Enchanted Realms, and it is a really, really interesting fantasy anthology consisting of a lot of very large short stories to some smaller novellas. and features a gamut of authors, including the amazing Abigail Keane, who's one of a very, very, very big selling mystery author. But yes, this is actually a fantasy release. But yeah, just from our press family alone, we've got some great folks in it. Like Sandy has a new one in there. Carl Moore is in there. Stephen Shrewsbury is in there. And yes, yours truly has a brand new Chronicles of Ave story called Embrace of the Sun. And yes, in an Aztec-like setting, of course, in the world of Ave. And it's the first Chronicles of Ave news story. It's been released a little while, which is pretty timely because I have a full novel coming out. This is the next installment in the Fires in Eden series that should be out by the end of the year or very early next year. It's done. It's just waiting editing right now. But yeah, we'll be talking a little bit more about that story, about the other stories. But yeah, there's a lot of good ones in there. There's 13 authors, and like I said, most of them are novella length. So this is a lot of bang for your buck. The pre-orders were not only 99 cents. Now I think you can still pre-order, but the price was Amazon forced the price to $1.99. Because most all of the stories also come with their own cover art image. And so, of course, when you have a larger file size on an ebook, yeah, it bumps things up because Amazon charges a delivery fee, believe it or not, on ebooks. Yes, a lot of folks may not know that. But, yeah, on the publishing side, yeah, they charge what's called a delivery fee based on file size. So, this one was evidently large enough that it forced Amazon forced the price to the huge rate of $1.99 for 13 tales by 13 different authors, co-edited by Kyle Hanna and Holly Philippi. So yes, yeah, they both had passes through every single story, so both editors did. So yeah, this is going to be a really, really good release. I hope all of you do pick it up, do give it a try. Lots of different flavors, lots of different settings, lots of different styles, ranging from more sword and sorcery kind of vibe to more high fantasy and then everything in between. Definitely some different cultural settings. Like I said, mine is set in an Aztec-like setting. I know Gene Rowley's is set in kind of an Eastern kind of an Asian kind of setting in terms of dragons of that type of influence. So real, real cool stuff. And so, yeah, it's going to be a wonderful release. I really am looking forward to that. And that goes live this Monday. So, yeah, go on Amazon and get your pre-orders in and get that as best as you can. So, yes. Yes, Sandy, that's an Amazon thing. Yeah, like I said, I made some comments on that. Sandy is asking about the slight price tweak on that. That was an Amazon forced issue due to the file size, so the final file when that was put in. Unfortunately, yes, the delivery size, because I think it was the final file size, I think it's a 16 megabyte ebook. So, yeah, with all the different covers that were brought in by all the different authors. So, yes, you'll see what I mean when you get the ebook, but they all have different cover images for each of the stories. So you can, like I said, most of them are novellas. So, yeah, Amazon kicked that up. And so, anyway, that was that's the story there. And we're getting in the groove here. And, yes, it's a lot. It's a lot, Sandy. Let me tell you, I have a hurricane of activity on this end, so yeah, some things just can't control it all, unfortunately, but it happens. Anyway, that's the news about Enchanted Realms, and so yeah, looking forward to that very, very much, and we'll be getting a lot of info out on that, and looks like that was bumped up to the 28th. 28. Stephen is still tired. Yes, Stephen is still tired. Stephen may just run away. Who knows? He needs a vacation badly at this point. So, That's the way it goes. But, yes, yeah, it's bumped up. That's right, Sandy. It's bumped up to the 28th. And so that'll be out this Friday, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, but I've got a lot of stuff coming out with that. And, yes. I know. Oh, yes. That's what I'm in the... No, it was, Sandy, yeah, the 99-cent pre-order price is honored for everyone that pre-ordered it. And, yes, it was 99 cents, and that pre-order is honored by Amazon, evidently. So, yeah, everybody that pre-ordered it will get it for the 99-cent rate. And I almost want to say that that if you do get a pre-order in, Amazon usually honors the lowest pre-order price. I know they do that with vinyl and CDs, because, by God, I'm an expert on that as far as ordering those on pre-order. So they may well also do that with any pre-orders that come in before Friday. Don't want to say that absolutely for certain, but I imagine they will. They'll do one of those things where they do a little refund to you off of the price if it was out available for a lower pre-order rate before that. But again, Sandy, we can't control that. It's not our that's not in our sphere to control that. That was Amazon, the big Zon, forcing that price up a bit due to the ebook delivery fee. So yeah, that's the unfortunately that's the way it goes. But yes, I also had some other news from my end. I'm happy to say that I got another two novellas of mine that were previously only available in ebook that are now available in print, and that would be, they are available as of today, Prowling the Darkness, Rain Valkyrie Tale, and Altar of Gods, a Ragnar Stormbringer Tale. So, yeah, we're trying to bring out them in pairs until we get all six of those out. Two of them are currently available, four more to go, and you know, for each of those collections, and we will try to get those out in a very timely fashion until all are available in print. Continue, like I've said before, we will continue to get the compendiums out, and that have three per compendium, and that's a more affordable way to buy them. Some people want to get the individual ones, and of course you get the full color covers. I think they look absolutely wonderful, and they are rather inexpensive. I mean, the Amazon retail on them is just a little over $12 a piece. But yeah, you can collect those and get them as single print books now, and those are available now, and there will be four more to come out of each collection. So four more rounds of these kind of announcements, because they'll be coming kind of rapid fire, because I want to get those, make sure those are out before the fall, because there's a lot coming up this fall. So now I'm going to go ahead and recognize the two folks that brought you tonight's show. And we've got the great tandem of Sandy Lender and Ren Garcia. So, yes, the famous question will be asked by Ren, and obviously I'm going to be the one to answer it, but pay attention to this one from Sandy. This book's the first book in this trilogy sold out at Imaginarium. Of course, Sandy just won the Michael Nost Wings Award. Covers are gorgeous of this trilogy. You definitely want to pick up some print copies of her Choices trilogy, now available. So that being said, let's hear from Sandy about it.
Prophecies stirring in the land of Onveiled. Dragons rise and an unclean army marches toward Amanda Sharice. Our unsure heroine has choices to make and enemy lives to take in Sandy Lender's epic fantasy series, available now from 7 Star Press. Choices meant for gods, choices meant for kings, and choices meant for all offer girl power Machiavellian adventure of hope versus despair, a chosen one versus free will, and good versus evil. Learn more at authorsandylender.com.
Thank you, Sandy. So, yes, folks, go out and get the new Enchanted Realms Friday. Get that new Sandy Lender story and pick up one of the Choices books if you've read book one. Obviously, get book two. And if you've read book two, get book three. Or if you haven't read any yet, pick them all up. They're fantastic and Thank you, Sandy. And now we're going to go over to Ren. All right, Ren Garcia, who we need to get at the convention. Next year, start putting some heat on him to come. All right, here we go.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes, Ren, we are weird enough. We are weird enough for you, definitely. And love his series, League of Elders series. Great artwork on those covers for sure. And we should be hearing some new stuff from Ren very soon, sooner than later. And we'll be getting him back on the show. So, yes, so tonight, of course, it looks like our guest is on deck. So I'm going to go straight to it. And I am honored to bring you tonight's guest. I actually had the pleasure of working with him as an actor on a TV pilot I once did, to give you a little teaser, first of all. He was a guest panelist at Imaginarium 2023. And he is a multifaceted creative. He's an author, a screenwriter, a filmmaker, and a mental health advocate who's devoted not only his writings, but his pursuit and other media output to the awareness of the daily struggles that many go through with mental health and substance abuse. Great guy who I'm thrilled to welcome on to the Star Chamber show tonight, the one, the only, Sheridan C. Hall. Sheridan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
There he is. Yeah, long time no see. I actually got to visit with you at Sandy's booth, and that was a highlight for me when I got to finally sit down. Sandy had a chair in the perfect spot at the convention, just right there next to the booth. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better place, and I was just sitting there and got to spend a little time with you. And it was on that Sunday when, like I said, I have fewer worries percolating in my head, and that was nice to actually get a chance to speak with you. And from what you said, you'd been selling some books and having a good convention. So, yeah, since it's been a whopping about week and a half since I've seen you, how have you been doing?
Just getting back into the swing of life. I've got two girls. I've got one on the way, one little one, don't know the gender yet. So just getting back in the swing of family life and, just the full-time job of being a dad and trying to be a creative in the gist of all that.
Oh, yeah, it is a full-time job. And definitely, yeah, I have a keen appreciation for it. Like I said, just observing the pelicans, the step grandchildren, and all that. I know it's a full time gig there alone. And you are always jonesing to do creative stuff. Like I said, you're very multifaceted. Very talented, creative, and you've got a wonderful kind of a mission or kind of element, you know, to your approach with your, you know, concern for mental health and mental health awareness. So, so I do want to get into all of that tonight. So, where would you like to bring us up to date? Because it has been a while since you've been on the show, but yeah, is there, as far as anything that has transpired over the last about year or two on your creative fronts, anything you need to bring us up to date? Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I'm currently working on a novel based on the reoccurring character of my short stories, and taking on that daunting task. Also in talks with some other filmmakers right now to create one of my short stories into a kind of like what you did with Raiden Valkyrie, kind of into a pilot proof of concept of what it could be. And then I'm also on the non-writer side. I am working on just some wood-burning artwork that involves mental health awareness, especially the semicolon movement.
Wow. Wow. Well, I expound on that in particular, because, yeah, I'm curious myself. What's that all about?
So mostly it's just little things like keychains and stuff that at Mix Imaginarium I will be presenting. It's just little things, little designs that focus, that center around the semicolon, which is a very big thing in what I do and what the semicolon stands for, both in the writing world and the mental health, especially the mental health.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I didn't know that you were up to that as well. The wood burning art, that is a very cool thing. And yeah, definitely. Yeah. For me, it's fascinating. It's nothing I've ever even attempted to do, but that is really, really cool. And I'm glad to hear you're getting back into your writing, because you're a very talented writer and poet. And you do have books out there. So, go ahead. Just for the sake of our new listeners, yeah, tell folks about, yeah, because, you know, obviously you were selling a few copies at Imaginarium, but, yeah, tell folks about, you know, what you do have out at this point.
So the only thing that I have out right now is, it's a little bit more than a pamphlet, really. It's 5 short stories that I've written that focus around what I call situational mental health, and it covers fictional tellings of real incidences like survivor's guilt, of PTSD, suicide awareness, and one that a lot of people don't touch, the abuse of a bully, say at school, and what he goes through and kind of what instigates him to be the bully at the school. So, and that is on Amazon strictly right now. If you just look up Wingless, which is the name of the book, Wingless, and my name, it'll be the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, and that book, I liked how, like I said, had a different thing in each story, and they always say, you know, write what you know, and I think that, you know, that's a very good example of it. I mean, you really dived in and really wrote what you know, and you know, you got nothing but 5-star ratings on it, and it's very, the price on it is awesome. I mean, it's only $5 currently on Amazon right now, folks. It's only $5, folks. So yeah, get on there and pick up a copy of that. And also available on, if you're a Kindle Unlimited subscriber, it's already in there. And or you can obviously, you know, buy the ebook if you're not a Kindle Unlimited subscriber. But that is really cool. And again, you've been mentioning, you know, mental health awareness. So we definitely want to go back a little bit and start in the foundation of what got you to, you know, you've got your creative side, but obviously, you know, you've had a path, you know, in other areas, and that's how did this become like a very strong focus for you, and why, and, you know, whatever you're willing to share about that as far as, you know, mental health path. That's something that's big with creatives now, and I can't tell you, you know, enough about how, you know, when we ever hold a topic on that, like an Imaginarium, the room is packed. I mean, it's something that's very front and center, you know, on the minds of creatives, mental health and mental health awareness. So when did, but you were, you know, like I said, you were an advocate of this, advocate years ago, and so where did that road start, and then how did you you know, come about to make the decision to fuse it with your creative self?
Funny thing is that it started as young as I can remember. I've struggled with mental health my whole life. And really, it grew up with mental health, and was born in 88, so the late 90s and early 2000s when things were still being been to, like, we were still trying to correctly diagnose things and bring actually, like, you know, things like bipolar and everything into the medical world and looking at them correctly. And I'm pretty candid about my walk. I've survived a couple of attempts of suicide in my life. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I've been, not in my family, but I have been through abuse. And it just, a lot of things in my life that I feel that I did not go through with no purpose, and that purpose is bring awareness and also the fact that people who are going through it are not alone. And that's kind of where that started with me.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to share, you know, kinds of things that you do and be as open and but you do need those people, and I commend you for that. It's not an easy thing to do at all. And yeah, you have a military background as well. You've been on quite a path I definitely commend you for coming out of it as you have, because, you know, it's been a real joy to kind of watch you from afar these past couple of years as, you know, you built a, you know, wonderful family life have watched you become the awesome dad that you've become, and it's been great to see the positives coming in. But that it's also, you know, I definitely want to, you know, say it. Yeah, it's not easy, I know, to go back and revisit some of those things, because creatives, I mean, we all kind of, you know, we all have our sensitivities, and for us, you know, we're very tapped into emotions and things like that as creatives. So I imagine, you know, it's not always easy to go back and tap into some of these things. How do you decide an area to tap? Like when you did your book, I mean, how did you decide which things you were going to prioritize as different examples or areas of mental health struggles to go through? How did you make those kind of cuts for the stories that you had?
It really was more kind of a spur of the moment thing. I write short stories and everything else. The way I do poetry, I don't believe in forcing poetry out. I don't believe in forcing my stories out. So when it came time to writing them, it was what was I feeling needed to be talked about. I started with a story about a man on a ledge, because at that time in my life I was going through something and just felt that it was time to write it down. And instead of journaling, I decided to tell stories that kind of talked about what I was going through, but generalized it to where the point where somebody else could read it and go, okay, hey, I resonate with that. And it was just mostly, like I said, just kind of spur of the moment kind of writings that I was like, okay, this needs to be written. This needs to be brought attention to.
Now, it's interesting. You mentioned journaling and you mentioned creative writing. And it sounds like, you know, listening to that response, that you found that the creative writing outlet was maybe more effective for you, or maybe a channel that was, helped you possibly more. Is that what I'm hearing? And if so, why do you think the creative writing over the journaling?
Creative writing is definitely, I feel, easier. And it's simply because you get out of your own head. When you're journaling, you're not really getting out of your head. You're writing down what's in there. And for me, writing the story, I can get out of my head and just tell a story about how I'm feeling versus, okay, this is what I'm feeling, jot it down. Okay, oh, so that is what I'm feeling, which is what I feel journaling is a lot about. And, you know, I'm not, I will never, never look down on journaling for anybody. I mean, I've done it myself for many years when I was younger, but it just didn't work for me for what I needed.
Right. Right. Yeah. And yeah, it didn't mean to imply that it was like, you know, one is better than the other. Cause I know that, yeah, everybody's got a different way of working with things or working through things or expressing things, certainly. But yeah, in your case, you know, I was curious as to, you know, why you thought that worked more effectively for you. And, you know, and that's only one area of your creative expression, because obviously, you know, you're also a filmmaker and you're, you know, and you mentioned your wood art and other things. And, you know, so how, you know, as far as those, do you want to comment on what you find effective about each of your other spheres of creative activity?
Yeah, absolutely. Film is the same way with writing. I think that all creative outlets are kind of have the same effect for different people, whether it be, like I said, the wood burning, the filmmaking, the writing, it's whatever an outlet is for you to get that creative bug out. The film for me definitely is, I feel, a little bit more impactful, especially these days with the media being so saturated with new shows every month and everything. And I feel that as creatives, we have power that is almost superhero-like. And I feel that film is one of the most impactful ones because we have power to change minds. We have power to make people see things that they didn't normally see. Or, for instance, one of my favorite ways of explaining this is one of the reasons why I got into filmmaking is because of the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and how you follow those characters, and near the end of it, you just feel this journey come to an end, and you're actually sad about it, and you have been on this journey, and I wanted people to go on a journey with me in a film. So
very nice. Yeah, and the film world, it's a very collaborative medium, obviously, as opposed to, you know, writing, which, you know, can be a very solitary endeavor until you get to the, you know, the point where you're working with editors or publishers or, you know, that end of things, cover artists. But yeah, a lot of the journey is very solitary in nature. The other one is very collaborative and, you know, obviously often brings together, you know, a number of people bringing various things to the table. With something, you know, like what you focus on and emphasize, you know, and then bringing other people into that mix, does that dynamic, you know, help a little bit with the production side, the collaborative side? Does it help to have others working with you in some way, or is it a little, or is it harder as opposed to the solitary creating?
It is both. It's the same. It's fine is the best way to put it. You know, there are times when it's just like any other thing, you know, when you're handing, because I actually did not direct what I wrote and produced. So it's hard sometimes to give away your baby. And that's mm-hmm. just plain and simple in any form of media, whether it be writing for novel or writing for script. So that is definitely something that is hard to do and kind of can make things a little hard. But the collaborative is you're not alone, especially in the heavy things. You know, you're making a film about, you know, suicidal ideation and, you know, it gets heavy. You have those people to lean on. You can sit down with the cast or crew and go, okay, hey, how's everybody doing? Are we doing okay? If not, let's work through it. And that is where, especially with what I do, the collaboration is actually the most important part, because it's almost like group therapy on set. So
that's a good way of describing it. Yeah, definitely. And I have, I've been on sets where the kind of scene you just described, where, you know, you get together and you talk, you know, with the team you're collaborating with in a particularly powerful moment does occur. And so, yeah, that's a really cool way of describing it. And certainly, you know, like I said earlier, you know, a lot of creatives are struggling with various types of mental health struggles. And so, yeah, sometimes you can get some insights you may not have expected before that, you know, like I always say, they bring things to the table. You could provide the screenplay as the foundation. And then as each party comes to the table, from directors to art directors to actors to, you know, the people that, you know, are involved in the music and sound side, I mean, everybody's bringing something to the table to the end product. And so that can either, like you said, you know, it can be a little daunting because it's your baby and it goes through changes along the way. Or like, you know, you're saying, you know, it kind of brings the group together, and that collective input really does help, you know, in terms of the final output sometimes as well. So, yeah, it could be a couple different roads. I think there's I know it's awful, the strike that's going on right now, and it's frozen a lot of major productions. But that hiccup is going to create – I see it now already, because they're delaying everything or projecting delays and just about everything. But I think there's going to be a real gap out there in content, and it's going to be up to independents, I think, to fill it. And so, I'm curious to see, do you have some stuff visual media-wise that you might be thinking of advancing on now with that kind of content gap that's going to happen, because see that coming.
I am working on a 8-part series right now that I am looking at pitching to many different places, and or preferably just do it myself and get a crew and everything together. Is about my short stories that I've written, and turning those into kind of an anthology series concept. And I've gotten, as of right now, I have 4 or 5 scripts written in their first draft, and by the end of the year, I should have the other 3 done, along with the final edits of many of them.
Very nice. Anthology on the short stories. That's cool. Here's the million-dollar question. Are you planning to direct each of those projects, or are you going to assemble the kind of team where you have a different director on each of them, like some shows do?
I will not personally direct, because I will be kind of biased on where I feel the story needs to go, and that is not the focus of the story, so I'm going to be stepping back from directing. I will be, as of right now, I am actually slotted to be one of the characters in it, but as of that, I do believe that this is a story that other people need to tell as well. I'm going to be looking at a director, or like you said, possible other directors.
Well, you definitely are great on screen. You certainly survived a scene of having a weapon shoved through you by 6'7" Brock O'Hearn in the production we did together.
And, which I did not sell, actually. I did not sell that kick at all.
That was cool. That was a fun scene. That was one of my favorite shots in that. I understand what you're saying as far as stepping back, but definitely, obviously, I hope you definitely are in least executive producer spot. So yeah, people can't go too far off track with what you're going for on this, you know, keeping that mix for sure, I hope. But are you going to be kind of turning different production teams loose on each one and kind of keeping tabs on them, or are you gonna take a very active approach to being on the various sets of each of those then as it gets put together?
I'm definitely in the mindset of doing one at a time. So because there is a recurring character in each one. And so he would definitely need to be shot one at a time. But I am definitely going to be, as you've seen with Raiden Valkyrie, I am the same mindset. If I'm not directing or if I'm not on screen, I'll even be a PA on my own production because it needs to get done. Whatever it takes mm-hmm. to get a project done is what needs to happen. And if there's a hole that needs to be filled, I'm not doing anything that is a hole I am willing to fill.
Well, that is the golden side of the indie filmmaker mentality. Yeah, you end up wearing a lot of hats and definitely step in wherever you need to step in to get it done. And I know you're a trooper. I've seen that myself. So I know you definitely dive in to help in all phases. So yeah, definitely do not doubt that you will. Especially, with that many productions occurring, that's a good ambitious project, and definitely look forward to it. It definitely seems to me like, from an acting standpoint, those particular stories, that could be a real showcase for various actors and actresses. You know, that definitely I think could be a real powerful, the exhibition of acting, with these particular stories and what they're dealing with. Is that you share that?
Yeah, I agree with that fully. It's something that I feel is showcases can do. I want to do it right. So, I have a friend of mine who is a psychiatrist and talking with him about things. And so we're going to get this right. We're going to have the right actors for it. We're going to have the right everything for it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of collaboration. Yeah, that's for sure. But the good news is, your timing is, like I said, I think very good. I think there's going to be a very big need for content for a while to fill gaps with the delays in a lot of the studio output and the larger production house output caused by the extended strike. So there's going to be a real need for stuff out there that's going to have a impactful. No one wants to just see nothing but reality shows is what I'm saying. They're going to want to see dramatic productions and things like that. So I think you actually have a really good opportunity here to get your work out there. The other good thing that keeps happening with indie productions is the production values just keep getting better and better because the technology gets a little more affordable and a little more affordable as far as all the production gear that we have access to just more powerful than it was in the past. Software is more powerful and that's a good thing. And so, it seems to be like the right kind of things are lining up for you. And that's a positive, but keep me posted on that because anything we can do to help get the word out. And if you're doing casting calls or anything like that, definitely keep us in the loop and we'll do our best to support that project because sounds awesome. I mean, I did not know that you're getting ready to dive into an anthology, so we're learning some cool stuff tonight.
Well, I will definitely keep you guys in mind. I mean, you guys gave me, I remember talking to you, Steven, about, I was like, I don't care if I have to be the guy getting coffee, I will be a part of your project. And you were just like, okay. So I'll definitely keep you in the
game. Fantastic. Yeah, because like I said, and like Holly always talks about, it takes a tribe and you got to stick together on these things because it's not easy. I mean, definitely not easy. And that's And we definitely want to see some things shine out there. It's always great when something even comes out of our regional area, because both of you and I are from the same general region. So it's always great when we can see something that comes out of here that really shines, and that's awesome. So yeah, keep up the good work on that, and yeah, and definitely glad you were writing the screenplays with all the talk about AI nowadays. Glad that a real person's going to be writing these. Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating.
When the credits say Skynet as the story writer, I think I'm going to be done and I'm find my hole. But other than that, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, I think so too. I definitely think so too. And in addition to that, obviously you're continuing with your writing and your art. And obviously you got, the most important thing is being a great dad and family. But it was wonderful to see you at Imaginarium. Now, are you going to start getting out to a few more events and things of that nature? Are you going to be able to start getting out to a few of those kinds of things when you can, at least?
I am looking into that possibly within the next year. Definitely once, the novel kind of gets more underway, I'm going to get more out there. And because Imaginarium is really the only place I'm doing anything. And I'm happy that is, if there was one thing I was doing convention-wise and circuit-wise, it would be Imaginarium that I would stick with.
Well, I'm honored.
You guys, I've been seeing you guys at Imaginarium since the second one, and I definitely have been in this for the long haul, and I plan on being in it for as long as this ride will take us.
Oh, fantastic. I'm definitely honored. And yes, we, as exhausted as I am from this year, which is hard to put into words, but there will be a year 11, and I can neither confirm nor deny, since no official statement's been put out, that July 19th to July 21st, 2024, definitely is a weekend you should block out on your schedule. So just saying, but I'm sure we'll make an official statement soon. But yes, I would strongly recommend clearing those dates in regard to a year 11. But yeah, there will be an 11th year for sure. So we know that much. I never get too far ahead of myself, because it snowballs even more every year. And Steven only has so much energy. So yes, it's got to give it some point in the other direction. But for now, yes, we are definitely going to do year 11. But yeah, good to hear you're getting out there. And I know there's going to be some cool events. I know even one fun thing I've been talking about with Dewan Moon, who's in the chat room. We're talking about doing a fun local collaboration that's writing themed for the Louisville area, which I hope we'll be talking about soon. And definitely you'll be one of the folks that I let know right away, because I think you'll love it. But yeah, there definitely seems to be in the air. I saw it with other folks talking online, but a real desire for more proactive gatherings of writers and creatives on a regular basis. And again, I think that comes out of what you're talking about some of the stuff that comes out of the film side. When you're with a group, there's a synergy and there's a certain feeling of support. So that's something I hope definitely to see in the region, just for creatives to start getting together more. It's not a bad thing to be with your peers and get your batteries recharged. That's a good thing. And I certainly saw you doing that throughout the convention. Yeah, I saw you getting to reconnect with a lot of folks. Any good stories or highlights for you over the weekend? Any people that you really excited to get back in touch with and talk with? I know it's been a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. There, I get to see one of my literary heroes every year, and Michael Williams. and he is a phenomenal writer and a phenomenal person as well, so it's always good to see him, because I grew up reading the stuff that he, the work he did with Dragonlance series, and also Nathan Day, who is phenomenal, who you have published with, as well as worked on Raiden with, and he's always a good brother to hang out with, and so, you know, it's just good to connect with people, and it shows that it doesn't matter how long we go without seeing each other, when we do, it's like nothing, it's like that year didn't happen. It's just like we just picked up right where we left off at the end of the last convention.
That is exactly how I feel. It's very strange how that works. It's like, yeah, it's like yesterday, you know, you saw various people that you haven't actually seen since the previous year, or maybe even 2 years ago. You know, they may have skipped a year. But, yeah, that dynamic is very interesting. And Nathan is always one of my favorite people. And like I say, any day that's a Nathan day is a better day, right? So it's my little phrase goes, but it's he is an amazing guy and always like championing other creatives. I mean, he's really good about that. And again, like you, he's multifaceted. He's definitely a lot of stuff going on. That's cool with him. And I do have a cool scoop for you since you mentioned Michael Williams, but yeah, he and I talked about it, but yeah, we got a new book project percolating in the works with him. That's a doozy. I mean, it's definitely an ambitious project from him, and we're going to work with him on it. But yeah, they'll be expecting some news on that in the not so distant future. But yeah, he's got a really neat project that he's going to be doing here pretty shortly. So new different than anything he has out. That's all I'll say. Very distinctly different than anything he's had published before. So I'll tease you with that, but I give you more so a little more on that, you know, if we talk in private. But yeah, it's definitely cool. So yeah, there's some stuff you'll be glad to know. Yeah, there's new Michael Williams coming right down the highway here. And like you know, my road with Michael Williams began with the, you know, the Dragonlance stuff, and then lo and behold, you know, knew him personally, and then next thing I know, they're putting out a quartet of books by him, and now it looks like, in a way, there'd be a five-book quartet, but the fifth book is going to be really distinctly different, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a few good laughs.
I remember talking with Michael about that as well. He's like, well, what is a quartet without a fifth? And that was the
exactly.
joke that he kept in his back pocket the whole weekend. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, we strive to be different. You know, have the four book trilogies, the five book quartets. You know, you want to be different, right? So, you want to make your mark. So, but yeah, he's just a pleasure. And yeah, definitely glad that he's getting a little more R&R since he's, you know, got to retire from, you know, teaching duties as a professor at U of L, and just one of the nicest guys you'll encounter. And his wife, Rhonda, is an absolute pleasure to know. And, yeah, I've known them now for years, and good folks. But that's what happens, you know, you start to get to know, you know, the folks like that, and it becomes like a reunion, and yeah, I'm glad you got to reconnect with folks, and hopefully you got to meet some new ones over the weekend. Hope that occurred as well.
Absolutely. One of the greatest things about doing panels is that every year I'm on a panel with at least one new person, and it's just amazing to see the widespread of the creative world and seeing how... one of my favorite advice authors is actually Chuck Wendig. And Chuck Wendig says, everybody is a writer, but their story about how they became a writer is different. And I love how he puts that. And so, yeah, it's great to see the different facets of both within the writing world and without it. It's just phenomenal to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely, and I can relate to that, and and just from, you know, working as an editor and publisher and all, I'm working with so many different writers, that they do. Everybody's got a different path that they've followed to, you know, be on the writing journey. And it's a lot of fun to, yeah, just hear all the different processes and the different advice and, you know, whether they're plotters or pantsers or somewhere in between. And, I mean, yeah, the cool thing is, I mean, yeah, you have certain objective aspects of grammar and, you know, writing elements and things like that. But, you know, there is no one-size-fits-all type of approach. And so, yeah, you will get, like, a different answer from every writer about what works for them or how they work or how they go about it. And that's one of the fun things about a panel is that you really do get to hear that up front, you know, and from people that are very active in that path. And I love that myself. That's a fun thing for me too, and it never gets old. But on that process aspect, here's one that might be helpful to some of the listeners out there that have a very active family world. And like I see that Beck Harrison is in the chat room, and she certainly does. She's got a very active family world at home. What is your process? What works for you? How do you fit in the creative stuff around the family stuff? How do you find the time? Where do you put the time? Or what is your process as a creative amid all the obvious obligations and responsibilities that you have as a dad? Yeah, because I know there's people in your shoes out there that sometimes have a hard time, you know, finding time to create and or working that in. What do you say to them? How do you work it in?
I work it in by, one, it takes sacrifice. This world that we're in takes sacrifice of time, of sometimes, you know, of things that we feel we'd rather be doing. And I feel that the sacrifice is just more predominant and in your face when it comes to when you have a family and responsibilities. And a lot of times it's hard to not use that as an excuse to why you're not writing. And that was my biggest thing. I stopped using my family as an excuse as to why I was doing it. Well, I can't because I have to watch my baby. Well, my baby is self-sufficient enough that I can sit in another room and write. Or, you know, my beautiful stepdaughter goes to her father every other week, and so we get to spend a little bit more time after the baby goes down. And so while the wife is gaming, I can sit down with my laptop, and it's just like any other writing creative. It's about time management and taking, okay, this is the time for my responsibilities. And even if you're tired and exhausted from the day, you're like, if this is what I want to do with my life, if this is this writing thing, if this creative thing, if this filmmaking thing is what I want to do with my life, then I'm going to take this time that I do have and make it happen. And so you just have to, it's mostly about being proactive with the time that you do have without those responsibilities.
So what I'm hearing is being flexible and proactive in terms of your approach for mm-hmm. what I'm gleaning and finding those pockets and using them, you know, even if you are a little on the tired side. But I hear you definitely. And it sounds like you found that, yeah, you can find those pockets on a consistent basis. And that's, to me, that's always, you know, something I think is key, is to being able to you do your thing not that you have to do it for a ton of hours every day, but more important that you are at least dipping into it each day or other day at least, but staying consistent and staying in that kind of groove, because it keeps you, I think, on a subconscious level, kind of keeps your mind in a creative zone, you know, as opposed to binging, you know, where you know, you'd write 10,000 words on a Saturday and then you don't write for another month, you know, as opposed to, you know, writing a few hundred words Saturday, a few hundred words Sunday, maybe Monday you can't, Tuesday you write a few hundred words. But I think that your mind stays in a better zone doing it that way than doing like the one-time binge, And so it sounds like, yeah, that's kind of what you're finding, a nice rhythm with, finding pockets of time that work for you. And that's, it's something that people need to hear, because, yeah, it's no question. Yeah, when you're balancing, work, families, et cetera, yeah, and those are priorities on the home front, certainly. Sometimes it's hard to find that little gap, but, yeah, you got to steel yourself to it. And it's good for folks to hear that and hear from somebody like you that produces results, that is a, panelist at a convention that does have a book on Amazon, that has appeared on, productions that are available out there. And it's good for folks to hear that. I think that's definitely reinforcing. Hoping going forward, especially like I said, with the film project, I mean, that's something that you can sustain without too much difficulty, because I really want to come back to anthology a little bit, but that sounds so good, especially coming from your foundation of your stories. That's going to be a really good project, and looking forward to that. That's going to be cool.
Well, thank you. I look forward to both the headache and the heartbreak that go with it.
Yep. Always that too. Yep, I know how that it is. But you, at least you've been in the game long enough to know what to expect. I always chuckle when I see some of the newer writers that get into it, that they're getting their first book out and they think it's going to be just absolutely smooth sailing once they get that first book out. I'm like, oh, do I want to be the one to tell them? Do I want to be? No, I don't. Sometimes
don't
I have to temper the expectations a little bit. But, you're right. They do figure it out. They do. But it's kind of interesting to watch that sometimes. Or the ones that think that, when they fling that first book up, self-published on, like, Amazon, that they're going to be, millionaires by next month. That's an interesting group to watch too. it's all kinds of stuff happens out there. Let's get into some of your creative influences. And by influences, I mean we can look at it from your physical art. You could talk about your the wood burning art, things like that. What influenced you to get into that, or who if there are artists specifically that influence you in that area. Also curious to know some of your favorite filmmakers and some of your favorite writers. So go. I'd love to hear
that. Oh,
them.
Man. Oh, some free form. Okay.
Take your time, though. No rush.
Oh, you're fine. My favorite filmmakers really, Scorsese definitely would rank up there. Ritchie also. I'm a fan of mostly of just about anything. I'm a self-proclaimed cinephile, and so anything film, I especially love the older films. My favorite film of all time is actually the 1954 Charlton Heston Ben-Hur. And what
nice.
That film was able to do. Yeah, that is my favorite film. My wife actually got me a bulk copy of the script. And it just, what it did for the film community and the practical stuff and it was an amazing film. And it really, I think it was pioneering what filmmaking could be, and we still are riding the ride from it. And, so some of my favorite authors I've already talked about, Michael Williams being one of my literary heroes. I'm a big fan of anything epic fantasy, so Tolkien, Jordan, Goodkind, and my favorite of all time as of right now is Brandon Sanderson. And
oh yeah,
for one of the reasons, I even brought this up in a panel, that Brandon Sanderson writes. He never labels it, but he writes mental health, and he throws mental health into his characters, and he makes them human. He shows the imperfections in such a great way that it actually makes it to where you feel that you can feel for these characters and actually see aspects of yourself. So Brandon Sanderson is definitely one of my favorites right now. And so, yeah, I mean, the artwork is definitely a thing. I don't focus as much time on it as I wish I could with all the different facets that I do. But when I get to do it, I sit down and, you know, I put on my music and I would burn for a good half hour or so.
Very nice. And I love the fact you mentioned Sanderson. I did have the honor of meeting him at Joseph Beth following a signing he did for the last Robert Jordan book. And his Robert Jordan's wife was there, and so I got to meet her as well. And, you know, obviously she was, you know, editor and with Robert. And it was really, yeah, it's kind of wild, yeah, when I was meeting them. And I just so, you know, and he actually asked me for a copy of one of my books. And so I ended up giving him one of my books and I had just such a pleasant conversation with him. He was just so down to earth and, you know, just such a nice guy, very, very genuine. I had a very, very good vibe about him. And that, like I said, that was a few years ago now, you know, when he was brought in to finish the, you know, the Wheel of Time series. But obviously, yeah, he set the world on fire with that Kickstarter, though. My God. Yeah, it was like several, I can't even remember how many millions of dollars he ended up getting. But that sent, I guarantee you, that sent a shockwave through the publishing industry when he pulled that off independently. But I thought that was a lot of fun to watch the hoopla when he did that big Kickstarter campaign. But very genuine guy. And yeah, we share roots. We share some Tolkien roots. I do love Good Kind. And yes, yeah, sounds like you have some common literary ground for sure there, but yeah, he does bring across a lot of dimension to his characters, and you'd be hard pressed to ask for better influences than what some of the ones you've named. So that's a nice batch there, and definitely. And the only thing I would suggest, Sheridan, yeah, just do not live with try to recreate the chariot scene in Ben-Hur, because that didn't go so well for some.
the fatality rate on that, I think, is still one of the highest in film history. So
that was rough. So, yeah, as long as you don't try to recreate that anyway, then we're good. But I share... I do share your love of Ben-Hur. That was one of those all-time great films, without question. It comes out of that golden age of those epics that came out in the 50s and 60s, and definitely that gets to my roots too. But yeah, influences. It's always interesting how influences kind of work their way into your mind and your art and things like that. And you always are picking up new ones. I mean, every time I get inspired by a writer I didn't encounter before, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, some way they become an influence. It's the way it works. So hopefully, Sheridan, you will be cited as an influence by others as they, you know, discover your work. But, yeah, because definitely, you know, you definitely share. As we said in the beginning, you definitely are not hesitant to share things that, you know, in a way that others, you know, would be a little guarded or maybe hesitant to in your work and what you talk about. Are you going to be as far as the, you know, the mental health aspect, or do you see yourself not as in the creative sphere as much, but getting involved in just some of the, the mental health community, just directly, like, do you see yourself getting involved in that a lot, or are you currently?
I am just
as far as talking to groups and things like that, not in a film setting or a book setting, but just in, you know, general setting. Are you active in that area too?
I am not active in that area. I would love to be, you know, I'd love to get to speak at, you know, things and help kind of people with that in that way as well. It's kind of hard when I'm in the middle of nowhere, Indiana, and there's not really a call for that out here. And it's hard when with, you know, work and family and stuff. It's just really hard
right.
to network, and especially in those kind of fields. So, I mean, I'd love to do that. But at the moment, it's just I haven't networked in that field of the mental health.
Have you ever thought about starting kind of like your own channel on that type of area on YouTube? If you can't, you know, if you're limited in where you can go physically, have you ever thought about doing a channel where you know, bring in maybe guests via Zoom, or, you know, you talking about it, or, you know, having a themed kind of channel, visual media wise, YouTube, wherever. But have you thought about doing some of that? Because I think you'd be a very good host, or, you know, of a show like that. That's just a gut feeling, but.
Me and my wife have actually talked about doing a podcast kind of deal. Focus mostly on, because I still very much so struggle with mental health, and having a partner who can see past the hard time and see, okay, this is part of the man I love and I married, but this isn't all he is. There's a better part, or there is a part of him. It's just amazing when he's not struggling. And even in the struggle, she goes, this is still an amazing man. And so we definitely want to talk to couples who are in that same field, in that same struggle, and be able to say there is hope. And, you know, maybe these are some of the things that we went through that can help you. And that's kind of,
absolutely.
We've been in the talk, but family and everything has, of course, gotten in the way of making that possible, but we do have a passion for such things.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because, you know, obviously, yeah, we all, you know, continue to have our challenges in our lives, and certainly, you know, that's that, you know, adds to it, what you can share with people, but you also have, the good thing is that you have a lot of positives now that you can also share with people to show that, you know, that you have, you know, achieved certain things, and certain things have come about in your life that are very positive and wonderful. And so you've got, you've got the hard parts, but you also have the little bit of the victory side too, you know, and that's encouraging. And so I think, yeah, for somebody like you, it's very willing to share and be willing to be open. And I think with that balance, yeah, I think you have a lot to offer, and this is definitely the age of YouTube channels, and now with the big gigantic Twitter, well, it used to be Twitter, now X app, where they're really going to go, you know, have a lot of video content and so forth, and almost be like a rival to YouTube. You know, there's going to be a lot of call for channels that, you know, deal with, you know, things. And yeah, I think you definitely would be a great candidate for that type of topic, and especially for creatives, that, you know, as well. So, because that is a hot topic among all of our kind, creatives. I mean, it's something that we all you know, struggle with, deal with, and that's be a great outlet if you get into it. That's just a suggestion, because I've known you, but yeah, that might be something, you know, since you're, yeah, in a more remote area, that might be something you could do at some point, you know, mm-hmm. if you get get things you're able to. But because I find myself watching less TV, produced stuff, and I find myself gravitating more and more to independent creators on YouTube or Rumble or Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I know it's supposed to be called X app. I still can't get over that. But as far as you know, the various video content creators, I find listening to those channels more interesting to me when somebody that's, you know, really being genuine, who's really authentic, who really you can see it. feel it, you know, and the productions may not be as slick as something, you know, on Netflix or whatever, but I think that the, you know, the messages resonate stronger in a lot of ways. And I think this is a great time to be, you know, being an independent content creator. Certainly, yeah, the outlets are there. It's definitely a lot of challenges, but, yeah, the outlets are certainly there in a way that you and I didn't have available to us even 10 years ago. And that's kind of a cool thing. Just got to keep the AI back. I'm with you. I can't stand that stuff. But it has its place, I guess, in some ways. But people got to be careful, man. It's dangerous. It's so dangerous. But, yeah, especially for, you know, a lot of creatives, yeah, it's not a good, not necessarily a great thing. But yeah, it's so what do you think are the biggest challenges for creatives today as an independent creative yourself? What do you think are, you know, not just, you know, in the mental health area or, you know, talk about the mental health area, but what do you think are the biggest challenges for an independent creative in today's climate, media climate?
I don't like making the parallel a whole lot between mental health creatives and the other form and the what we consider the regular creative form, because in all reality there is no difference. It's just the things that we struggle with can be a little bit deeper, or it's just a different form of struggle a lot of times. The biggest struggle, I think, goes all the way back to, you know, when the scroll was being written, is imposter syndrome and the fact that you feel like you don't belong in this world. And the truth is, you know, one of my favorite stories is that Neil Armstrong was in a meeting and one of the guys looked over to him and he goes, "Should I be here?" And he goes, "Man, I've been on the moon and I still don't feel like I belong here." And so, you know, that's definitely one of the things that we have to, you know, kind of overcome, is the fact that this, you know, we are creatives. This is our world. We do belong to be here. And, you know, and each person, you know, struggles with something different. For me, it's definitely, will somebody want to read this? Is this worth writing? Not just, okay, I am a writer, but is this something somebody would want to read? And, you know, that can be the biggest issue too. And I tell people at the convention constantly, you know, write it. If one person reads it, awesome. If not, hey, you wrote it. You did what you were supposed to do. And, you know, for my third piece, you know, I definitely just think that, you know, one of the biggest struggles is the networking. You have to get out and network. If you want to get anywhere in this industry, in this world, you have to connect and network. Like, go to, like, say, an Imaginarium for a day and just talk with people and connect and network. And you have done more in that one day with networking than you have sitting at home, writing, and talking with your friends. You know, you have to get out and network.
Absolutely, and that's one of the big motivations, actually, for me founding Imaginarium, was to be that kind of environment, because I had seen how important that was in my life, meeting people, networking, and so that's why I wanted to see a great environment that facilitated that. And yeah, you couldn't say that enough. I mean, yeah, networking is critical, because that's how you find your tribe, you find your circle, you find your support network. Yeah, it's not necessarily about, yeah, finding, you know, the right publisher or this or that. It's a lot about, you know, finding your own group and finding your own support circle, and yeah, the people that you trust, the people that, you know, have your back, and a lot of that, yeah, it comes about from good networking and building relationships, and so I could, yeah, you couldn't say enough, and I understand totally about so many newer writers that I have talked to a lot in private who struggle very much with what you're talking about, the imposter syndrome thing, and it's definitely very very real, and it's more prevalent than people think. A lot of writers don't openly talk about their struggles with that, but I tell you in private, you know, I've dealt with a lot of writers that fight that on a constant basis, and so that's a very real thing. And definitely know what you mean about wondering if anybody's gonna read something when you're putting it out there. And so we all can't be like J.D. Salinger and get to the point where we just don't care and we just write for ourselves and don't care if anybody reads it. Like he finally got so fed up with the publishing world that he finally just said, hey, I'm just going to go off and be a recluse and write for myself. But yeah, not all of us quite reach that point. You know, we do want to find our audience. And like I say, not everybody's going to like your work. Not, you know, your book is not going to be for everyone. The trick is finding your audience out there, you know, finding your readers out there. And that's the sounds, you know, straightforward, but that's not always an easy thing to do, you know, getting out there and finding your readers, but that's the thing. And, but yeah, it's definitely a struggle for a lot of writers. And, I think it's good of you to mention that for sure. But as far as speaking for myself, yes, I want to read what you come out with. Absolutely, sure. I definitely do. So looking forward to it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, oh man. Yeah, we've covered some good stuff in this conversation tonight for sure. And I'm looking at looking at chat room just to see if we might have any questions in there. It doesn't look like we do. Let's see. Yeah, Moon made a good comment here. We all struggle and we all see each other. That's a good statement.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good statement. Yeah, I can relate to that as well. Now as part of the show is we're heading down the final stretch. We've got a few more minutes in the live broadcast. So I'm going to just ask you again. We'll talk first about Do you currently have any other events coming up? And if so, you can elaborate on them.
Do not at the current moment. I am looking at some more local Kentucky Anna things to possibly get into by the end of the year or until an 100% locked in July set of dates for next year, but besides that, I do not have anything at the moment. I will be on social media if that does change. I am not as active on social media as I used to, but I do use it to promote my creativeness. So if I am doing something locally in the Kentuckiana area, social media will be updated to show them.
Well, in this age of 7,363 social media platforms that are available now, which ones do we find you on? And if so, what handles?
So you can find me on Facebook, of course. Search my name and you'll see my goofy face. Also on Facebook, I am also at Burning Wolf Art, and that is the Burning Wolf is my the persona that I use for my wood burning artwork. And then I'm also on Instagram at Sheridan_C_Hall. And other than that, those two are the only ones that I use at the current moment. I am looking at getting others done, but with everything, keeping up with all social media would be a little chaotic, and I might even have to hire my own assistant just to handle it, but those are the only two at the current moment that you can find me at.
Well, I think it's great for you to keep them consolidated, because let me tell you, we try to maintain a lot of channels for our press and for Imaginarium and all, and and it gets hairy. I mean, I try to keep up with a bunch of things at once. And, definitely, I think it's good for you to target just a few key ones And that's the advice I do give a lot of writers that talk to me is, pick a few platforms and do them well. And don't spread too thin on that. Folks, definitely connect with Sheridan. Great creative to follow. And I think you take awesome pictures. I think you always look very, very debonair in your photos. And like the one we used for the graphic for the show today, in fact. And I also want to give another plug for your book. I mean, come on, folks, in paperback, it's only $4.99. It's only $5. That's literally less than the price of a Whopper in most Burger King locations. And that's definitely is a really good book and really, really cool to hear that this is going to kind of evolve into an anthology, in terms of the film projects. And so you can get in on the ground floor of the storytelling here with Sheridan on this book. And it's also available on ebook. But, yeah, definitely check that out on Amazon Wingless. Not All Angels Have Wings, Chronicles of the Suit. And it's got a nice image of Sheridan on the cover looking very dapper with a very nice hat on as well, which I love that. Yeah, I've always felt compelled to wear a hat of that style, oddly enough, and I may at some point. But, yeah, it looks real good. And I am glad to hear, I was really glad to hear that you did sell some copies of that at the event. That's awesome. So hopefully a few more folks are on board with you. And we've gotten down to, let's see, if there's any comments, chat room, you want to relay, just get those to me quick. But otherwise, Sheridan, is there anything that we have not covered tonight or any statements that you would personally like to make? I want to give you the floor to do that right now.
The only real statement that I would like to say is that, you know, whatever you're going through, you know, whether it be mental health, whether it be physical health, whether it be anything within that range, you know, hope is the one thing that we can always find, even if it's in the small things. So hope and lean on those around you. There will be people around you that want to listen and want to help. And if not, then look for people. I mean, look for people that, you know, just you feel will listen. Because hope can be found if we look.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, and definitely you're one of those people. Yeah, if for other people, they're looking for those kind of people. Yeah, Sheridan is one of those people and definitely one that I am certainly rooting for and would like to support in your endeavors as much as I can. And thank you. This has been a really important and wonderful conversation tonight, and I've enjoyed it very much. And I'm excited that you got to come back on board the show here. And I hope that in the early part of 2024 that you're coming back to give us some great updates on this film project, Sheridan. Yeah, it's really
All
been
right.
good
well,
talking
as long
to
as
you tonight.
You guys will have me.
Of course we will. you are amazing and a super talented guy. I just want to say again, I'm very glad that you've had such a wonderful family now to look out for. But yeah, we've enjoyed it very much. So come back and join us soon, Sheridan. And do keep me in the loop on everything you have going on.
I will definitely do so.
All right, folks. So we come to the end of a very wonderful Star Chamber show. Thank you for listening. Thanks to you, those of you that participate in the chat room. We will be back next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern with another show with another amazing guest. And so go out now and follow Sheridan C. Hall, folks. And continue on your creative journeys. So good night, everyone. Have a great week ahead.